I think a note of caution. As you know, this entity that supposedly hacked these emails tried to get a ransom from Jones Day, which was not paid, and then from the city, which we obviously didn't pay. But I would just be very, very cautious. I've seen this happen in other instances. I've seen it from my perspective as a lawyer representing clients. And oftentimes what happens is you get things either out of context or they've been manipulated to make a particular political statement.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot today talking about one hack, that of emails from the city involving the Adam Toledo lawsuits and the legal wrangling there. There's another hack in the mail as well, in the news, the hack of the Colonial Pipeline, the software there, an effort to shut that down or get ransom from it. Colonial says they expect things to be back up and running fully by the end of the week. To help us understand all of that and more, we turn again to Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you.
You know, I want you to talk to me about the threats and what we can do about it, protecting the infrastructure. But, you know, Congressman, the thing that surprised me the most, what I didn't know, is how dependent the East Coast was on a single pipeline. I never thought about it, about where they got their fuel from, but that it comes from this pipeline that originates in Texas.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things like that, you know, I guess they're not really single point failure because there's always backups, but certainly can be disruptive. And, you know, when it comes to fuel transfers, this is one of those. And, you know, while the integrity of the pipeline obviously stays in place, and it's very important when we talk about pipelines in the future, the reality is, you know, this is a whole new world. Being able to do things like hack software or, you know, that kind of stuff we've been warning about since I've been in Congress, and probably even before, just the threat that cyber hacking can play to critical infrastructure.
Okay, so what is it that the Congress or the government can do to ward against this sort of thing in the future? I mean, it looks like it was a criminal entity, went after a private company. How does government come into this?
Well, there's the offensive side, so going after these groups, trying to find them, track them down. You know, if this is a Russian group, you know, we don't necessarily know if it had the support of the Russian government, more than likely, because that's typically their MO. And I think, you know, we need to be better at information sharing. I mean, whenever we tried, this is a number of years ago, early on in my career, we tried to implement where, you know, private sector and government could share cyber threats, cyber vulnerabilities, and you had some of the libertarians that got involved and said, no, you can't have, you know, the government with private sector. Well, the reality is both the government and the private sector see different threats that the other don't. That needs to be shared. And I think lastly, what's important, you almost have to look at this as we looked at nuclear weapons, right? We had an offense with nuclear weapons, but no defense. So what is it that prevented a nuclear exchange? It was the reality that kind of mutual assured destruction. And we hate to talk like that, but it's a reality. And I think we have to be much better on offense and make it clear to some of these actors and some of these governments that, you know, particularly when you think of SolarWinds, this massive hack that we haven't even really gotten a grip on, that the U.S. will also play offense in response. I think that's one of the ways. And of course, you know, just new technology and everything else.
You brought up SolarWinds last time we talked, and you said then that we don't yet have a full handle on it. Tell me what you know now that you didn't know then. Anything more?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's still a lot that's being gathered. I don't know what I can and can't say. I'll just say that this is really deep. This is structural, and this is going to be very costly to fully rectify and fix. And, you know, when you think about whole computer networks that had to be basically torn out because there's no way to fix it, and you think about that government-wide, it's a serious problem. And I don't know why it's been quiet, except maybe that we're trying to just get a grip and a handle on what it is, you know, without spooking everybody. But this is serious. And, you know, again, this is the new world we're in where, you know, boats and planes are going to be important, but just as important as our cyber infrastructure.
You know, there's a parallel. I kind of hesitate to bring this up because I don't know how closely they do parallel. But I was watching TV this morning or yesterday, and they talked about how there were 9 mass shootings in the country over the weekend or the past few days. And it occurred to me, it's like, well, it's not a big deal anymore. You know, they're not going wall to wall. We've come to accept it because it happens. And I'm wondering if that's kind of what happens with these cyber attacks, because they happen so often now that the general public, we don't really become alarmed at them.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're getting to that point. You know, if you think back to Edward Snowden, and there's a lot of people that, you know, raise him up as a hero, but he cost American lives. But the stuff that's happened even since then has been bad. And, you know, we've gotten to where we're used to getting the notices about our privacy information being taken, or the alerts that, you know, our password was gotten. But these are some big deals. And I wish I had all the answers. But the reality is the new world that we're going to have to both adjust to and also be offensive on.
All right. So that's to your official capacity. You also obviously are in the center of it all when it comes to politically and the Republican Party, the caucus expected to meet on Wednesday, and it looks like they will oust Liz Cheney as the conference chair. She is one of the few Republican members of Congress who voted for impeachment. You're one of the others. You've stuck up for her. So when this conference happens, what do you do?
Well, I mean, there may be some debate over it. You know, it was 4 hours of debate last time. I'm not sure if they're going to replicate that. You know, I'll speak words in support more than likely. And then there's a vote, and we'll find out what the vote total is. And, you know, I think Liz has looked at this as, look, if this is the conference's will, I get it. But the only sin she's really committed here was being consistent. She said the same thing that Kevin McCarthy has said, which is Trump bears responsibility for January 6th. I know everybody wants to move on, but this is only 4 years ago or 4 months ago, right. And we have to take a full accounting. And so we'll see how this goes. But I think you know, it's probably Liz will lose her leadership position, and I don't think it's going to bode well for the party long term.
Well, you know, there's also talk, and it's just, you know, the talking heads on TV, that there will be this third party, a conservative party form with the likes of you and Liz Cheney and maybe Mitt Romney, some others. Is that a possibility?
Well, not today. I mean, there haven't been any discussions about that. It's people theorizing. I'm a Republican because I'm a conservative. But, you know, the party's just made up of the wills of people, and it's going to determine where it wants to go. I'm going to remain a conservative. I always have been. I more than likely always will be a conservative. And so, you know, in terms of that, that's a decision the party has to make. For me, I'm staying conservative. I'm staying Republican, and we'll see what happens in the near to short term.
What percentage of your party members are conservative today?
You know, that's a hard one because I think what a lot of people define as conservative is just, are you willing to engage in the culture war? Are you going to defend Donald Trump? And, you know, look, yes, he had some good policies. I voted for them, but he's really a destructive force in terms of his words. I think if you look at who is truly conservative, I would say maybe half the conference, but, you know, it's hard to tell because it's just really, you know, how is it defined nowadays? Do you believe in smaller government? Great. You're a conservative. Do you believe in loyalty to one man? Well, that doesn't make you a conservative, I don't think.
Yeah, it does go back maybe to the 80s when the conservative movement became a social movement more than just a fiscal movement.
That's right. That's right. And it became about optimism. We can thank Ronald Reagan for that, you know, showing people a better way. And what's happened over the last number of decades, and particularly in the last 5 years, this just turned into, you know, a battle of culture. And look, there's a lot of cultural issues. I don't like cancel culture, but we can't win cancel culture by turning our own cancel culture inwards, and that's what they're doing with Liz.
All right, there's a conference meeting coming up on Wednesday. Take me back to a conference call that you tweeted about in the days before January 6th, where you warned Kevin McCarthy and other Republicans that their rhetoric could lead to violence on January 6th. What happened there?
Yeah, so it was a few days prior to January 6th, and we were talking about this objecting to the election, and I got in line and asked a question. I said, look, I've been looking at Twitter. I've been looking at the chatter. People believe this election was stolen, and so it's not illogical to think there will be violence. And they're saying there's going to be violence. And I said that our actions are going to – there is going to be violence on January 6th as far as I can see. And you know, and part of our going along with this lie is going to cause that. And all that Kevin said is, okay, Adam, next caller. And I said, okay, we'll see what happens. And certainly I was right. I don't relish in being right, but I was right.
Yeah, looking back on all of it, it's just shocking to me that the percentage of the people who still believe that Donald Trump won the election. It's just a hard thing to figure out.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I get it because their leaders are telling them that. And that's why leaders have to be truthful, because they're misleading and abusing people and taking advantage of their willingness to trust them.
All right, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois, we'll look forward to what you have to say on Wednesday.
You bet. Thanks. Good talking to you.
Always good to talk to you, Congressman. I appreciate it. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then we're going to talk about cats and rats and elephants. No, just cats and rats. That's coming up on the Afternoon News.